Broadcasting from the Washington, D.C. studios of the National Right to Life Committee, this is Pro-Life Perspective, America's pro-life voice. And now, here's National Right to Life President and Pro-Life Perspective host, Carol Tobias.
We ended last week discussing an op-ed in Canada which dove into the societal implications when swaths of the population engage in sex-selective abortion. This week, we pick back up the topic with a truly fascinating example of what happens when a movement supposedly grounded in respect for women runs headfirst into the truth that millions of baby girls are missing, the direct consequence of sex selection abortions, also known as female gendercide. Catherine Blaze Carlson, writing in the National Post, a Canadian newspaper, titles her piece, Abortion's Tightrope. She uses as her jumping-off point journalist Mara Vistendahl, whose book, Unnatural Selection, Choosing Boys Over Girls and the Consequences of a World Full of Men, created a torrent of debate over the unbridled use of ultrasound to target female babies for destruction in Asia, but also in certain ethnic communities in Canada and perhaps the United States. We've talked several times about the book, each time prompted by Vistendahl trying out a new way of pretending to escape the corner into which she has painted herself. She is pro-choice, she told Carlson, but not necessarily when it comes to the right to know the baby's sex. Carlson paraphrases Vistendahl's position as, a woman should have the choice of whether or not to abort, but not to know all the details about it. In her own word, Vistendahl says, there's no real need to know the sex, and that could be an effective way to fight sex-selective abortion. Adding, you can believe in a right, but still believe it has limits. But Vistendahl opposes every measure that would stop gendercide, a failing common to pro-choicers who forever prattle on about abortion limitations. They can't find any limitations. What makes Carlson's story so interesting is that she quotes from disagreements and squabbles over sex-selective abortion from inside the pro-abortion circle, which are as intense as they often are self-contradictory. It boils down to this. If the pro-abortionists give those crazy anti-choicers an inch, save babies because they are female, they'll take a mile, save all babies because it is discriminatory to save only females. As we discussed last week, a column by Margaret Somerville appearing in Canada was extremely compelling in explaining why abortion supporters are so unnerved by gendercide. Quote, pro-choice advocates have long proposed that whether women can have unfettered access to abortion should be the litmus test of whether a society has respect for women and their rights. They argue this access is required to protect women's rights to autonomy and self-determination and to protect their dignity. Ironically, however, sex selection abortion is overwhelmingly the expression of a lack of respect for women in cultures in which sons are highly valued and daughters are massively devalued. Sex selection abortion also shifts the analytical, ethical, and legal spotlight from the pregnant woman, who is the basis of the pro-choice case, to the unwanted fetus, which is normally ignored in the pro-choice analysis. This is because in sex selection, unlike probably most other abortions, the woman wants a baby, just not a girl. As a result of this focus on the fetus, we see abortion in a different ethical and legal light. End quote. While it's only a matter of time before the pro-abortion arguments against sex selection bans fall to the ground, we are still dealing with a rise of the practice in the United States, imported from countries in which female feticide is sadly all too common. In India and in China, studies continue to show a dramatic gender imbalance because of the practice. And a 2009 study by the National Bureau of Economic Research shows the strongest evidence that sex selection abortion is occurring in North America, especially among those populations of people from India, China, Korea, Vietnam, and the Philippines. All of this discussion is helpful at unveiling the truth, and it underscores the need for our work to educate our society about the dignity and value of human life and our work to pass laws that protect innocent human life.
You've been listening to Pro-Life Perspective from National Right to Life, the nation's largest grassroots pro-life organization. For more information on today's episode and to get involved, visit our website at www.nrlc.org.